Welcome to Happily Ever After is just the beginning. Keeping your relationship not just together, but happy, and we mean truly happy, is part art and part science. You've come to the right place. Here's your host, Leslie Dorries.
One of the biggest challenges facing relationships today is the changing roles for men and women. And as I've said before, the traditional roles were really clear, but they were also extremely rigid. Now the pendulum has swung the other way, and men, women, and relationships are struggling. Add in the oppositional forces of toxic masculinity and the Me Too movement, and it seems like a solution is out of reach. But honestly, there is something each side can do to bridge this gap. And so today we're going to address the why side of the equation, and I'm joined by David Crystal. He's the author of the book, Married Men Coming Out, The Ultimate Guide to Becoming the Man You Were Born to Be. So, Mr. Crystal, David, thank you so much for being on the show and talking about one half of the equation here.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm very pleased and honored to be a part of this show.
Well, I so enjoy having you. And so you wrote a piece for the Good Men Project, and anybody who wants to go to a great website and read some really good information, they need to go to thegoodmenproject.com. But the article you wrote was titled, Men Playing the Get Out of Jail Free Card. And in this article, you talked about the impact of the Me Too movement for men today. And you specifically talked about the challenge or the idea of the boys will be boys in today's environment. So what is that all about, and why is it so important that we take a look at it?
Well, having grown up in the early 50s, I grew up with the concept that boys could get away with a lot of stuff and just be lightly reprimanded with a slap on the wrist. And meanwhile, we could then go off and do whatever we wanted, making sure that we weren't caught by our parents or the authorities. And I was one of those kids that, oh, okay, well, I'm smart enough that I can somehow get around this. Mm-hmm. And I did. Now, I didn't do anything that got me into real trouble, but, you know, the things that I thought were important to me, I was able to somehow work out. But as the decades have gone by, I have watched what has happened to young men in society. And, you know, each generation comes along and they have their own idea of what should be, and they're always willing to break down barriers and to let go of social conventions. Well, I kind of like what's happened to bringing up a new puppy home. When you have, you do that, you have a choice. You train the puppy or you don't. If you don't train the puppy and establish boundaries, then the puppy is going to turn out to be unmanageable and destructive. But the puppy doesn't know that. Its understanding of freedom is being able to do whatever it wants without fear of being reprimanded. Now, trying to train a puppy then is going to be a monumental task, and their resistance is going to be intense. Well, I've noticed that the same scenario occurs with boys. If boys haven't been raised to know how to conduct themselves and understand the why behind their conduct, then their egos, their hormones, peer pressure, and life distractions are going to take over. So the Me Too movement and their message is going to fall on deaf ears.
Well, and in the article, you also really talk about, because my viewpoint and one of the reasons why I really wanted to have you on the show, and I don't think you're going to disagree with my basic premise, I think that really most men are good people. They want to do the right thing, but you are talking about they haven't experienced consequences, and then when women come along and say, well, this is happening to me and this shouldn't be happening, and, you know, they're it's almost a disbelief. Because I know that one of the things, you know, my husband is like, that really happens? And it's like, uh-huh. And because it would never occur to him to do some of the things that fall under the boys will be boys, or it's just locker room or whatever, that, you know, there's a group of people who actually behave inappropriately and may or may not know it's inappropriate, but there's also a group of men who I think just are unaware of that other people are actually doing this.
Well, I kind of liken it to what I call a frat boy mentality. And, you know, I haven't gone to two universities and seen the frat boys at work. I could step back and go, what are you doing? And the fact that they were not, that their actions were not, they were not held accountable for their actions.
Sure.
I found it extraordinary. But the frat boy mentality is such that things like sensitivity and empathy and consideration of other people and taking responsibility for your actions aren't really part of their playbook. They're in an environment that allows them to pretty much just do whatever pleases them. And they're not going to be held accountable unless there's things that they do that damage property, where someone actually hurt. Then, you know, they'll be brought to task on that, but they still don't get the message that, oh, what I did impacted someone negatively in some way. Nope. Okay, we got in trouble. Well, now what can we do? So they don't relate to these concepts, and because they don't have any meaning for them. So I just... They get caught up in kind of what we call the Peter Pan syndrome. And, you know, life is just one big frat party. It has more to do with impressing your frat brothers than anything else. And you combine that with the get out of jail free card, and the men don't have any incentive to change their habits and their behaviors.
Right, which then ends up having serious repercussions potentially when they try to become involved in some kind of romantic or intimate relationship, because there is this whole empathy thing. And so it's almost like, and now probably since, you know, I'm going dating myself a little bit in the 70s and Alan Alda and the sensitive man kind of concept was coming into play. You know, how does that, you know, the boys will be boys, get out of jail free card mentality, what happens when it bumps up against this oppositional idea of becoming more sensitive and aware?
Well, it's kind of interesting, and I've seen this and heard this from a number of women who say, you know what the guy that I'm dating said to me? He wants me to be just like one of the boys.
Mm.
And I sit there and seriously, they said that to you? Well, then why don't they go date a guy?
You know? We're not going to talk about that.
Right, that's a whole nother kettle of fish. But the thing is that men so often come into relationships having so little understanding of how relationships work. And their expectation is that they're going to have another playmate. And the playmate serves two purposes. One, sex. And
right.
Two, just playing around in life. But what a relationship is actually based upon, which has a lot to do with our emotions and our needs and wants and our aspirations for life, our purpose in life, it doesn't occur to them.
Well, I mean, I think that's an extreme. I do think that for many men, they do love, or have some experience of that. I think that I think a lot of this is societal, is when they aren't either encouraged in a positive way, because it's like, oh, well, you're just a wimp, and, oh, you're, you know, the other things that men get called if they show empathy, if they don't go along with the frat boy mentality, because that's, you know, there's consequences, and you're talking about training your puppy, and that's how we all are trained, is the negative and the positive consequences of our behavior. And when, like you said, if they get a slap on the wrist, and boys will be boys, and we don't really need to teach them anything, because, you know, they're the dominant, you know, and again, whoever, even though technically they aren't number-wise in the majority, because I think women outnumber men in the world like 52% to 48 or something, it's close, but it's not exactly even, but the men are the ones with traditionally with the power, that they don't necessarily have to pay attention to the people without the power. But I think that they still, you know, so I think that love and some of what people might consider softer emotions, if that's what you want to say, kind of struggle with this.
And that is one of the complaints by many men, is that, oh, my wife or my girlfriend wants me to go to a chick flick, and, you know, and she's going to be crying, and, you know, and I'm going to be sitting there stoically, and I don't want to sit through this. And it's because of how men are acculturated, they are really not wanting to get into those emotions that might put them in a vulnerable position.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, because vulnerable is a four-letter word. That's bad. I mean, to be vulnerable,
exactly.
Almost. I mean, the four-letter word most people associate with it is weak, and
exactly.
It isn't about being weak. But that's kind of what this whole, for lack of a better word, toxic masculinity concept comes up.
And that is very true, is that men run from emotions for the most part. And they are judging themselves or comparing themselves to other men. So when you get a commercial like the most interesting man in the world.
Yeah.
And I, you know, what is he surrounded by? Gorgeous women.
Mm-hmm.
He obviously has wealth. He's got this great title, and he's drinking something incredible. Well,
and he's having adventures.
Yes, he's having a life of adventure. Well, is that not really just a little more sophisticated version of the frat boy? And, you know, there, what you don't get by any stretch of the imagination in commercials like that is that softer, gentler, the more feminine side of a man. It's all the He-Man stuff coming out. So the models that we put out there in all of our media don't help us show that men are far more than just those particular models, that men have a full spectrum of emotions that they can access and bring into play in their relationships. And
right.
That their relationships are not dependent on specific archetypes.
Right. Well, but then it's also hard because, you know, it's doing what they've seen versus figuring out, I mean, and I think this is where the old patterns, you know, the old roles came into being, in that, you know, they were clear, but they were pretty rigid, and now we've kind of taken, you know, those boundaries off, and now everybody's kind of left at sixes and sevens about, well, what is it I'm supposed to do now?
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, I watch this confusion in the people around me as well as just what's happening in our media, and I think, well, you know, I'm 65 years old, and I've been through my particular life experience, but I've always known who I am, and I didn't care about how other people decided to perceive me or describe me, because I was coming from a place of heart.
Right.
Well, how many men are going to make that particular choice and still feel like they're a man?
Well, and I think that's a role that we kind of have to take a look at, and I think it's starting to be examined. This is Happily Ever After is just the beginning on webtalkradio.net. I'm Leslie Dorries, and I'm talking with author David Crystal about the challenges men face in creating healthy relationships. So if you think of yourself as a good guy who wants to be a good partner, but like we're talking about, aren't sure of the rules or how to go about it, how to balance your masculine and, you know, maybe your softer side, I invite you to contact me today and schedule your free Become a Hero Husband strategy session. You can reach me at area code 919-924-0463. Again, that's 919-924-0463. Or you can contact me at, send me an email at Leslie, L-E-S-L-I, at foundationscoachingnc.com. That's F-O-U-N-D-A-T-I-O-N-S, coaching, N as in Nancy, C as in Charlie.com. And, you know, figure out, and by the way, this isn't just for married guys. This is for any guy who really wants to know how to step up and, like, we were just talking about being who you're meant to be. And, you know, I think that's one of the good things about the rigid rules being removed is it's freed up both men and women to be their complete selves, but nobody's telling us how to do it. But in the article, you actually talk about you talk about better parenting, different parenting training, kind of like you do with your puppy, and just becoming a more quote-unquote woke society as a whole. What can an individual man do to kind of what you did and find the path that's right for them without the rigid rules that have been placed on men?
Well, I think there are a couple of avenues to explore, and I think we can all agree that communication is key to any kind of relationship,
uh-huh.
And that because of the advent of technology, that we're at a point where we have become rather one-dimensional in much of our communication because we rely on texting and instant messaging and
and
email, and we're missing out on so much of what we can imbue a conversation with. So,
okay, but David, that's so uncomfortable.
Yes, it is. And that's one of the, you know, men pride themselves on being strong. Well, you know, one of the bravest things you can do is choose to be uncomfortable. By showing no fear, by stepping into situations like a real conversation where you have to really dig into who you are, what your feelings are, and to maybe even say, I don't know, or maybe I'm wrong.
You know? And you hear all the men screaming, no!
Oh, yeah, you know, because there is so much to life to help make our lives actually so much richer than they are, in that we're actually doing ourselves a disservice when we cut ourselves off because we're afraid to feel our feelings, we're afraid of being vulnerable, we're afraid of being judged by people, potentially being rejected.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you want to be a strong, brave, courageous man, try doing that. Try having real conversations where you do get vulnerable.
It's interesting that you mention this because my husband and I have started taking dance lessons, ballroom dance lessons, and when we do a group class, they always start with the men on one side of the room and the women on the other side of the room, and they talk about the men starting with their left foot because their leaders, because especially in dance they do lead, but then what they say makes me cringe a little bit is, and women start on their right foot because women are always right. And I think that's a dynamic, because you talked about men maybe admitting that they don't know something or that they're wrong, and I want to free people up, both men and women, from this right and wrong concept. It's like, no, you both have two different experiences, and especially when we're talking about feelings, there is no right and wrong. You feel what you feel.
Exactly. And that, I think the idea of feeling what you feel is, since their children have been guided to shut off those feelings.
Yes.
Is that opening up that door creates a great deal of stress and fear, because all of a sudden men have forgotten what's behind that door. It's going to be terrible. It's going to bring me to my knees. It's going to make me less of a man. And that kind of perspective is what we need to help men understand is totally false.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're going to feel emotions, and you may even cry, but what that's about is release. You are actually freeing yourself rather than enslaving yourself to old ideals of what a man is supposed to be. So breaking down those barriers, I think, is terribly important. And there are a couple ways of doing that on your own, so you don't have to do it in front of another person.
Yeah.
One of them is what I have been advocating for many, many years with men is to do something called meditation or contemplation.
Right. And now you're getting woo-woo.
Yeah, now we're getting woo-woo. But you know what? This is, we're going to take it out of the woo-woo and just
Good.
Say all this is doing is sitting quietly with yourself so that you have a chance to quiet your mind. This is not about going and sitting in a cave in a mountaintop.
not necessarily be a bad idea, but it's not necessary.
Correct. You can do this in your home, and you can actually sit in a comfortable chair. The idea is to just quiet your mind and essentially let the larger version of yourself, that greater aspect of yourself, come through and give you insight into who you really are. And again, you get to do this by yourself, so there's no one else around. You don't have to communicate with anybody else. It's just allowing yourself to shut out the rest of the world for a little bit and bring the energy down and let thoughts come into your head that are about larger aspects of life, like who are you?
Uh-huh.
You know, how many men can answer that question without saying?
Yeah, they frequently mention what they do as opposed to who they are.
Exactly.
And, well, I'm an accountant, or I'm an engineer, or no, that's not who you are, that's what you do.
Exactly.
Although there are aspects of who they are in that.
True. You know, like having been a dancer, well, yeah, I'm very creative.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but I'm also creative without being a dancer, too.
Right.
So, you know, it's just who I am. I'm a creative person, and I'm also sensitive. But, you know, people say, oh, that's because you're a Leo. Well, yeah.
No,
that's
because you're a human, but that's okay.
Exactly. So the idea is getting into this 360-degree view of who you are. And you're much more than what society or culture or family or religion or education tells you that you are. We rely on these silos to support us through life. Well, what happens if that silo is suddenly taken away? Then you have to, somebody's going to ask you, well, who are you? And you will be left standing there with your mouth hanging open going, I have no idea.
Well, and I think that I see this a lot in my work, because a lot of times, you know, men are going along doing the things that they think that they're supposed to do. They're okay in their relationships because they're not really taking a look at them as to whether or not they're really satisfied. And there are certain things that will get men's attention, but for the most part, yeah, if things are going along great. And then they get blown out of the water when their wives or their partners say, I'm not happy and we're done. And I mean, you know, and they're just at a complete loss because I think they don't do this. They don't take the time to really identify, well, is this relationship what I want? Am I the person I want to be in this relationship? Do I, you know, because it's, you know, I hate the old stereotypes about, you know, the key to a successful relationship is for the man to just learn to say yes, dear. It's like, oh my God, make me scream. You know, that goes along with the woman always being right. It's like, okay, no. But in order to step up and stand, I don't want to say against it, but stand in the face of that and going, yeah, that's not the way I'm viewing the situation, they have to know. And that's what you're talking about is getting deeper and figuring that out, right?
Well, exactly. And one of the ironies about toxic masculinity is how quickly men will run away from dealing with these kinds of situations.
Mm-hmm.
They're perfectly happy with things being copacetic, where they don't really have to think. They just go through the motions. They do their job. They come home. They do, you know, jobs around the house. They, you know, talk to their wife on a certain level, deal with the kids on a certain level. But they don't want to invest in anything deeper because it's just too much work.
Well, and I think a lot of it also is it's very scary and they don't know how.
Well, that's all part of it. It all works together. You know, mm-hmm. if you don't know how, then you're not going to make choices that are going to put you in a position to explore. So what were you going to say?
Well, and this brings up something else that you mentioned in the article, and that's about men finding support to help them with this, and you know, kind of changing their environment, changing who they're hanging with, you know, getting out of the fraternity mindset and into something else. Because, you know, I think that when people see value in something, then they're willing to explore it. And I think this happens when maybe either they've had a potentially life-altering experience, or they have a mentor, somebody who they really admire, that they'll, when they see something different. Is that not kind of what you were talking about about another
yes.
way to help?
Yes. We have so many avenues available to men right now, through our social media, through support groups, through online groups, through something like the Good Men Project,
mm-hmm.
where you can check out an amazing array of articles on what it's like to be a man in today's world.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you a lot of information to work with. And what I found interesting is having facilitated men's groups in the past is that men wanting to come into the group are scared to death
yep.
of revealing themselves, revealing what their pain is, what their fear is. But once they get started, it's amazing how the floodgates open and the relief that men feel. They finally have been able to share what's going on inside of them that they've locked away for such a long time. And then they stand back and wonder, well, why didn't I do this earlier? You know, oh, gee, this might have a positive impact on my relationship. Oh, my
God.
Well,
and also on their health.
Well, yes, health. I've had some men come into groups who were so stressed. They're on all sorts of medications because of heart problems, high blood pressure, bad diet, and we get into, you know, this approach to a holistic perspective on manhood, And, well, you know, it all works together. What are you putting into your body?
Mm-hmm.
What are you surrounding yourself with? Are you in a job scenario that stresses you incredibly? Why are you doing that? What can you do to change it? Do you need to find a new career? You know, those are big questions, and they can have, you know, a lot of ramifications, but unless you think about it, then you're just going to keep doing the same thing over and over, and that's almost like insanity.
Well, yes, as Einstein would say, that's one definition of insanity. And, you know, and the idea, and I think that probably one of the things is with these, you know, when you do find a place where you can talk to people who are similar to you, that you recognize, oh my gosh, I'm not the only one who has these thoughts or these feelings or these experiences. And I think that that's really something that also, I think all of us are afraid of, oh my God, I'm crazy because I'm the only one who thinks this way. I mean, this is what I, you know, this is one of the things that I talk to people about marriage. I said, no, every single marriage that exists on the planet goes through this. Now, nobody talks about it, but every single one goes through this, and each couple may handle it differently. But the, you know, it's sort of like, you know, having a baby, and it's like, you know, they all start out, you know, needing diapers, and it's like there are things that you go through. There are stages, you know, that are common, and everybody thinks they're by themselves. And I think that this is one of the things, especially for men, that they don't have to struggle through this by themselves.
And that's why men's groups are so valuable for an individual, is because when they suddenly realize that, oh my God, other people are going through this also, they then get to hear different perspectives on the situation as well as hear solutions. And one of the scary things for men is that they don't feel that they have options.
Right.
But when they get into a men's group, all of a sudden it's a more open playing field. And they realize, oh my God, you know, there's so much available to me and I just never saw it. And so, you know, not only can they express themselves without fear of being judged in any way,
uh-huh,
or even dismissed,
right,
that they are a valuable individual, that they have worth, and that what they're going through is very real, and they're not alone in it, and they have support. So this is why I've always advocated, you know, in your town, check around and see if there are any kind of support groups. And if there aren't any, why not start one?
Well, and I think the important thing is to go back to this concept of vulnerability and weak. It's like, it's not weak to reach out for help or for support. You know, and I do think that it's one of the imbalances in a lot of relationships is that, you know, the one person that sometimes men feel like they can reach out to, their wives, their partners, are also the person that they fear will judge them. And so they box themselves in when there's really other options. It's like you said, that, you know, we tend to, through life, limit, you know, through our own experience, what options we think are out there. But there really are some more. And I think that now when the rules have changed so much, that this is a great opportunity for people to step up and do things differently.
It is a great opportunity. Unfortunately, men still will fall back on their fear.
Mm-hmm.
So it can sometimes take something big to push them in the direction of seeking help or support. When you've lived your life believing that you are self-reliant and self-sufficient, but then along comes something that says, well, maybe you need help and you need to ask for help, oh, no. No, that's not going to happen.
Well, and it's also the fallacy that we're self-sufficient. I mean, you know, very, you know,
exactly.
I mean, that's just, I mean, we come into the world helpless, every single one of us, male or female. And so we need somebody to get us through the first several years of our lives. So we're not really self-sufficient, even though sometimes we would like to pull away from that because it is scary. But, you know, this has been a really interesting conversation, and I would love to continue it, although unfortunately we're kind of out of time. But can you let people know where they can learn more about you, about how to do this?
Well, I think more than me, that going to something like the website for the Good Men Project, it would be extremely helpful for people. But there are so many permutations of relationships out there, and even my own book, Married Men Coming Out, The Ultimate Guide to Becoming the Man You Were Born to Be, speaks to relationships in all of its facets, whether you're a married man who realizes he's gay, or if you're just having relationship challenges. That book itself has a lot to offer. But get on Google, do some research. You know, there are tons of books about relationships to check out. Do your homework. And, you know, the big thing is, don't be afraid. Just step in there.
Yeah, and you don't have to jump in with both feet. You can kind of, you know, take baby steps towards this. But the whole point is to take action, because I got to say, one of my all-time favorite quotes about marriage is, marriage is our last best chance to grow up. And it doesn't necessarily have to be marriage, but any kind of intimate relationship is an opportunity to grow. And being a grown-up means you step up to your responsibilities and take ownership of your behavior. And this is true whether you're a man or a woman. Your actions impact other people. Your actions impact your partner, all of your actions. And so a question to contemplate, maybe when you're sitting in your easy chair, are what ones are worth changing? And hopefully you'll keep listening to this show and listening to guests like David, and you'll be learning more about what it takes to be in a great relationship, to be a great partner. And so until next week, stay loving.